Master Podcast, episode 47 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Oh, this is very tired. Good. It's a very tired. Good day for me. Very good day.
Is it?
Well, it's going to be a very good day.
You might be the spare man.
I might. Well, yeah. Okay, but we're still games of Walmaster being played, and then
watching.
Then we got a curry tonight, and then we're watching the wrestling. It's all good.
I'm not watching the wrestling.
Yeah, I know,
I'm watching
but
the NFL.
Yeah, you'll go to the watch
real
the
men stuff. You can watch your pantomime.
Yeah, but it's a UK champion. You know, like belt. It's new. It's very
Big Daddy's back.
It's very exciting.
Big Daddy versus Giant Haystack.
Stop showing your age, Barry. All right.
So, or you could watch the divisional rounds of the NFL, which are the best. This best weekend of sport in the year.
I'm sure. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. There's no bad games.
I'm sure I would really like American football if I got into it.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked the Cheatriots as your team as well.
Yeah, exactly. That would be what I'd be.
Scheming. Cheating.
Yep.
Low life. Win at all costs.
Win at all costs. Doesn't matter. Cheat to
God
win.
God damn you, people.
Viva la raza.
God damn you. They've also got like the quarterback's 39 and he's still on fire. I can't believe it. He's nearly my age.
It's because he just cheats, obviously.
It must be. And the biggest thing about Tom Brady, who's going to go down as maybe the best quarterback ever, is he was like such a late pick in the draft. Yeah. He had such a chip on his shoulder. I think he was like a 7th round pick or something.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, maybe he's when he's 300 players picked before him.
So was he bad then?
No, he just wasn't that good.
Yeah, so he got better.
Well, maybe they misidentified his talent level.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he came into the league with a massive chip on his shoulder, and he's played with a massive chip for like 19 years or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So fair play to him, the wanker. And he's like David Beckham, some fucking handsome prick with a gorgeous model wife.
Does he have a stupid voice like David Beckham?
He has that kind of Family Guy kind of Boston, Boston-y voice.
Boston.
Oh, not like that. No. Maybe not the Family Guy, but that kind of like, that voice.
All right.
Maybe you can tell it that. My brother lives in Boston, so I can slag him, I guess.
Okay, go on.
Anyway, so we're on our way to a Bunker Warmaster 3.
Yes.
Very inventive name, Paul. You're always going to your inventive name, like Winter Roller.
Whatever.
Bunker Warmaster.
State what it is. What's wrong with that?
That's it. That's the military way.
The military way. Why, you know, that is what it is.
We don't need creativity. Just say what you see, Paul.
Exactly. Say what you see, of course. Right.
So we're going to Bunker Warmaster 3 using Winter Roller 17.
That's right, yeah. Everyone knows what you're getting.
Everybody knows.
Who wrote this? Oh, I guess Winter did.
Winter. So, and this will more than likely be our last ever outing in OG.
Oh, it is, yeah.
OG Warmaster. Because the revolution, Viva la
Revolution!
is coming, and this will be it. So
well, I'll be talking when everyone's there. In our 5 minutes pre-chat, I'll be telling everyone that. So, it is.
It is. It's job's done. Job's done. Well done, the Czech community. I don't know if it's public who wrote it or not. So bad.
Whoever's taking credit for it. Yeah,
Alice has got a big finger in a big pie there. So well done for sorting it out, fella. So as of today, which is a bit weird today because I'm now juggling both sets of rules in my head.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
really looking forward to where we can just like, okay, move on to this one rule set and it's nice and clear.
You
and
know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
I'm looking forward to kicking the shit out of Rangers in the middle of Brigade. All these 15 attacks against those Rangers, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Your Dwarf Warriors could just stand around watching.
Ow.
All the little lightly armoured mates in the middle get a good kick in.
Yeah, they might have to rethink about how their brigades form. I need them to fight, but just ever so slightly.
Even if you put them on an end, I'm still putting 10 on them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult then. It's difficult.
And you can do, they get pinned, so I can charge in the corner as well. So that's another 5 in the corner.
Maybe you just have to, like, take charges with the dwarves and then counter with Rangers. Maybe that's the way you have to do it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a real house rule that Jim brought in, wasn't it, Jim?
Yeah. And
fighting directly to the front, and that's not the same in Revolution.
If a stand has two choice, has two. It can choose where its attacks go as long as it's touching the other stands.
It's got to be in the front, though.
Yeah.
You still can't attack side and back and stuff.
No, that's good. That's correct.
Yeah. It was a little bit frustrating sometimes. Not being able to hammer those Rangers.
But now you
give them a good booting.
Soon you'll be able to.
What do you call it? Healing?
Paddling. Give them a little paddling.
Pin them down and give them a good stomping.
Good stomping.
So we got Phil in the back. Bretonian Phil. Hello, Bretonian Phil.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. He's got to he's got to keep up the Bretonian tradition of winning.
Yeah.
They're on a roll.
Yep, good luck.
Did you decide?
From a different part of Bretonnia, I think, our army.
Did you decide on bringing a trebuchet or not?
Yeah, I decided against it.
I think it's probably people sensible.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, it's all good. I mean, we're going to have loads of players that because we've had some bad weather in England recently. I was worried that, is the snow going to stop people travelling?
That 20 seconds of snow?
No, but it did snow, and people overreact in England about this.
You reckon?
Yes.
Oh, man alive. It's like they were evacuating communities. There's maybe a bit of flooding. No flooding, actually. Stand down.
Stand down, everyone.
The sun's out. Yeah. Everything's melting.
Everyone go back to your homes.
It's like, we're so panic-stricken. We can't come with any bad weather at all.
Nothing.
Do you know, this is a funny story, right? So yesterday, the day after the snow, little bit of snow that didn't stick around.
Yeah.
So yesterday, all the snow had melted. So it's Friday.
Yeah.
And my son's football game on Sunday morning has been cancelled in advance because of the weather. And it's on an all-weather pitch. So check that out.
But there's no snow anymore.
It's an all-weather pitch, and they've already cancelled Sunday's game on Friday. And you've got to, how is that possible? What is the point in an all-weather pitch?
And also, but the weather's gone, isn't it? Like, the reason they're cancelling it isn't here anymore.
It's ahead, and apparently the weather's cold or something. It's an all-weather pitch, goddammit!
Get them out there, that's how they, learn to be men, isn't
it?
Oh,
we're so whimsy. It's that the health and safety's gone mad, sir.
Yeah.
You know, they're all going to talk like the Daily Mail reader. So it's the health and safety gone mad, sir! You can't even play conkers anymore! No more whiff-waff! But when you hear things like that, that the game's been cancelled 2 days before the game.
It's funny.
On an all-weather pitch. No, it's like a 3G AstroTurf pitch.
You should get out there and be the ref then and make it happen.
Make it happen. So we're here now.
Yeah, we're
there. Nobody else is here.
No, but we are here early to, prep.
Yeah. Prep the door.
So no, it's open.
Is he there?
Andy's in there. Yeah, I chatted to him. That's why we're here now.
He's with her early, wasn't he?
Yeah, because he works there, doesn't he?
He doesn't sleep there, does he?
No, he doesn't, but he's got to, do his tills or whatever he does. I don't know.
Do his tills.
Anyway.
Stock his shelves.
Stop recording and we'll, chat later.
Okay, apparently we're stopping recording and we'll chat later.
Okay.
So we're halfway through round one. It's very busy. We've got 16 players. We had one grudge match, which was Sherwin and Dave Downs. We got four Dark Elf players, which scares the willies out of me, considering we're allowing High Elves, like non-tournament High Elves. Good God, when there's no tournament, no regular High Elves, it's just tournament, there'll be Dark Elves everywhere, sir. Millions of them. So a quarter of the field are Dark Elves. We've got one Albion, one Beastman, one Bretonian, one Chaos. One Chaos Dwarf, four Dark Elves, as I said, one Dwarfs, two High Elves, one Tournament, one Regular, a Norse, Orc and Goblin, Skaven, and a Tomb Kings, which is a fair variety of lists, which is fantastic. I've got to give big credit to Jeff Bennington, who's running Tournament High Elves with four Dragons. Four Dragons. Including the much maligned Dragon Riders. So we'll see how that one works out for him. So I will run off my tits, to be fair, because we've got a relatively large amount of newish players who are working me hard. Round one, we're just playing a regular pitch battle, so they've already got to cope with the clock and all the other tiebreak procedures in War Master, but there is no ego roller, or winter roller, as he likes to call it. We got an amazing amount of prize support. I was shocked when I put it out on the table and took a photo of it. You'll see that on the website, the Facebook site rather. So if you want to see how much stuff we got, there must be a couple of hundred quid's worth of stuff. Go and look at the Facebook site, and I will talk to you between the next rounds, and then hopefully have a wrap up at the end. And I'll keep you up to date with who wins what round and what was played and who played what and where they finished, etc., etc. But you'll have to forgive me if I get called away, and you have to forgive me because it's relatively noisy because we're in a tournament. But so far, so good. I'll speak to you later. Okay, so before lunch, I'm going to tell you the rounds, the results of round one, and we're also setting up for the crazy meeting engagement. So we're doing our six zones, and we're going to do deployment before lunch off the clock and then start the games officially after lunch. We're also deploying characters, not with the brigades. I don't know if that's in the rules or not, but that's what we're doing because I'm in charge and I don't want any field mads, you know, my general's been killed before I've done anything, so we're going to deploy characters separately afterwards. So round one, I'll tell you the results. It would have been nice for me to have the... Alright, so here you go. So Janna's playing Norse beat Stuart, who's playing Albion, and he was plus 730. So Stuart was minus 730. Jim Beach playing Dark Elves beat Shane playing Dark Elves, and the difference is 675. Steve Pritchard playing Dark Elves beat Andy Soans playing Beastman by 590. Shane Streeting playing Dark Elves beat Jeff Pennington playing Tournament High Elves by 425. We got Dan Harwood playing Chaos beat Simon Bromley playing Dwarfs by 390. Phil Ewells playing Bretonnian beat Justin Curtis playing Orcs and Goblins. Well played, sir, for playing Orcs and Goblins by 150. And Paul Winter, Skaven, beat Nick Wakely, Tomb Kings, and he actually had negative victory points. So he had minus 15, and Nick had plus 15, obviously. And our final match, Sherwin Matthews, Chaos Dwarf, beat Dave Dan's High Elf, and Sherwin was minus 210 victory points. So that gave us our fixtures for round two, so we're just going completely Swiss. So Alex is playing Jim, Steve Park Pritchard is Shane Streeting, Dan Harwood against Phil Ewells, Paul Winter, Sherwin Matthews, Dave Downs, Nick Wakely, Justin Curtis, Simon Bromley, Jeff Pennington, Andy Soans, and Shane Davey playing Stuart Clark. So as I said, they're setting up the zones now. I should have a few minutes to talk, and then we will be kicking off after lunch. So happy days. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Okay, so I'm recording on the car on the way home, but we're going to go through the results from the last couple of rounds, and then we'll record a bit of a proper episode, then we'll tell you the... well, you'll probably already guessed who won it, because he turned up, didn't he? So, if he turned up, he won it. So, all the way through the tournament, right at the beginning, I was saying, somebody grudge him, please, somebody grudge him, don't give him a free run, and nobody grudged him.
Yeah, because no one wanted to lose.
You got to beat the man to be the man.
I know, but
that's what I told Phil.
Yeah, it's true.
Before his final, we'll see how that went later on. Yeah. Right, so round two we had Janna's playing Jim Beach, which was a Titanic tussle. Mm-hmm. So Janna's was Norse, Jim Beach was Dark Elves. Of course, Janna's won. Mm-hmm. The goat and the chicken he sacrificed this morning to Odin. Gave him enough luck to survive almost losing his general on turn one. He spiked some armour and survived, so well played him. So second win for Janna's. Steve Pritchard with Dark Elves beat Shane Streetling Dark Elves, but he had minus 70 VPs. So I don't know if I said Janna's VPs, it was plus 552. Third game was Dan Harwood Chaos against Phil Ewells, who's in the back of the car. Phil beat Dan. So Bretonnian beat Chaos, 457 points to Phil. Paul Winter Skaven Master, what do you call him? Winter Rat. Paul Winter Rat Leader won. Lost the first of many losses to Sherwin Matthews in his first tournament with an army borrowed. Learning the rules as he played. The second scenario was the meeting engagement, so it's the absolute madness that is the 6-2x2.
I like it.
Oh, it certainly speeds things up.
Yeah, but I just like it.
It's boom.
I mean, I think I'll do my wrap up, my thoughts about the whole thing after we've gone through the event.
So Sherwin outplayed Paul, who wrote the scenario.
Yep. It's very British to suck at something you love, all right?
Not something you invent.
You invented,
you
all right?
Like football,
yeah.
And you suck
That's
at football.
It's very English. I'm only doing what is in my nature.
Dave Downs playing High Elves lost to Nick Wakely, Tomb Kings. Score was 533 to Nick. Oh, and Paul, you did actually get more VPs than Sherwin, though. So yeah. Sherwin, for the second game running, won, but I had negative VPs.
Yeah.
Because that's how he plays. Keeps it tight.
Sacrifices a lot of,
keeps it tight. Keeps it well. So, Justin Orcs lost to Simon Bromley Dwarfs, 330 to Simon. victory points wise, so well played there. Jeff Pennington with our, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but you may not have heard because it was a bit noisy. He played a four dragon tournament at High Elf List.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
Four dragons!
So what, two dragon riders?
Yep.
And two character dragons.
Yeah, a hero and a general on
so
dragon.
So where
was his
what
army?
Was his breakpoint? Yeah, what was his army?
It's non-existent, mate. He had so that's what, 600 on the dragon riders. The general on the dragons, like, oh my god, he's 280 without any magic items. The hero on the dragons, 180.
So best point of 1,000 points.
1,000 points. Then he's got his minimums.
Yeah, so that's going to be...
That's another...
Any, yeah, right.
Oh my god, what's that? That's another 270.
70 and 60, aren't they?
Tunis Vigals.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was... I'm laughing, but this was the scenario, I believe. It was. This was the scenario. So Jeff Pennington, Tournament High Elves, lost by 330 to Andy Soans playing Beastman. It was the crazy meeting engagement, and because his army was so small and his general had to deploy with the scouts.
Yeah, because he was, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, he got forced into a unit of eagles that then got destroyed turn one.
Well, there you go. Like,
so, skew list may leave you in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was probably the low light of the tournament, somebody losing in turn one.
Okay, well, that we didn't write that scenario. I didn't write that scenario with that intention, but I can't be blamed for someone bringing four dragons in a high elf list.
And two, right. And two eagles. Okay.
No, he didn't have to scout with the general.
So you think his scout was plus 18?
Yeah, he didn't.
Just from flyers.
He didn't have to do that, but he did.
Well played, Jeff. Your list was bonkers, so... Thoroughly bonkers. And then our final game was Shane Davey, Dark Elves, who beat Stuart Clark Albion, plus 633 to Shane. So then we went into the final round. All the time we were playing Swiss, so the only criteria for tie breaking was the victory points. So we went into round three. Top table, sir. Top table was Alex and the Machine January.
The goat, the greatest of all time.
Playing bent as bollocks nought. In true Min Max January fashion.
Yep.
He had a hero, he had a general, he had a shit ton of heavy infantry, and he had 8 units of chaff, which he hid.
Yeah.
Superb. Against Phil. Overperforming Yules, who was fighting for the championship final game.
Dared to dream.
So he was in second place and in the back of this car with his tournament Bretonians list facing down Janoway. You got to beat the man to beat the man. If you'd have beaten Janus, you would have taken this trophy, sir.
Yes, all you had to do was win.
So all you had to do was win, and you'd have taken the brigade from Malastra's Ministrum, the massive KR case, the trophy, the dice, this, that, the women, the swine, the song, the power, the glory.
Yeah.
And you got face stomped.
Curb stomped.
Janus won the game. And this is the difference in victory points. This is not the victory points destroyed. So it's the amount that Janus did minus the amount that Phil did, and the butcher's bill was plus 1,060.
Yeah.
Did you have anything left, Phil, at the end of the game?
All my knights.
We can't have had all the knights. Some of them must have died.
The two peg knights died, but yeah, all the grail knights and the
yep.
I played it the proper Bretonian way, but
a proper Bretonian
scenario. Just sending those peasants.
Oh, I suppose we should talk about the scenario. This scenario was
taken hold.
So the 5 objectives, and you need 6 points now.
Yep.
So it plays relatively well. It's obviously it's about the centre objective for me always.
It's got to be. Yeah.
So I guess Janna's stuck a rook of heavy infantry around the centre objective.
On a hill, yeah.
Why was it on a hill?
Yeah, I did notice that, Phil. You shouldn't have, but you're already well into the game.
Oh, no!
I need to explain it.
Because I got dragged into a game because one of our players was feeling ill. So he had to go and get some medicine, and it meant that I had to play a game for the first half an hour, which meant I had to take my eye off the ball.
Yeah.
And it looks like there may have been an error made.
There was some shenanigans.
Don't think I'd have won.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you now, sir, if you're telling me that centre objective was on a hill,
it was,
that's bad news, bears, when you're playing Bretonians.
Yeah, it was. But I noticed it. but because of the table behind me, but they're well into their game before it started.
So. Ouch. Ouchie, ouchie. Because one of the criteria for that scenario is that it needs to be on...
10 centimetres clear.
Because the knights need to be able to get in and contest, because that is the one that the game's won on generally.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's... He got his heavy infantry on. I got on there first, but then he beat me off with his heavy infantry.
Right, so you are now fighting uphill against infantry that are 4-3-4.
Yeah. And you're sending peasants in.
Yeah.
4-3-4 defended.
Yeah.
Yowzers.
Yeah.
So you attack and you get three attacks. He's hitting you four back and he's defended.
Yeah.
You ain't winning that, mate.
But Bretonians, like similar like to Empire, they don't have heavy infantry.
No.
So.
But the knights
lived,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
There are. So you're saying there would have been a chance. If I'd have had my eye on the ball.
Mm.
The
but it can't be a true Janus win without some shenanigans, can it?
So, yeah.
It's got a bit, yeah, but it's like. Gem. It's what is the end result, not believe, what happened.
I can't
it?
Believe I didn't get to make my table checks. God
yeah.
damn it.
Yeah.
No, all right. I wouldn't have won anyway, so.
Well, not with an attitude like that. Okay, right, so we'll leave that as it is now. Well played, Mr. Janoway.
Yeah. I'm he's these GOAT, greatest of all time. Goat.
What a mate.
He's
the goat. Goat.
The goat.
Feed the goat.
Yeah.
Feed the goat,
feed
right?
The goat.
Steve Pritchard, Dark Elves, very plus well. 485.
So that should have been, if the fourth round, that would have been the final. Steve.
It would, Steve against Janus.
Yeah, that would have been good. Ooh, I'd like to see that.
Because yeah. I think, did he manage to beat dwarves with... Goblins last time or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Or did he lose? I can't remember. They played at the Trivers. I can't remember the result.
Yeah.
So Steve Pratchett plus 485 beat Sherwin. His first taste of defeat, Mr. Sherwin, with his Chaos Dwarfs.
Yeah.
So minus 485 to you, sir. So yeah, all three games you finished with negative victory points, which is an achievement in itself, I believe. Having won two. Nick the Dark Lord Wakely with his Tomb Kings beat Shane Streetling with his Dark Elves plus 206. That really went down to the wire. That was the last game.
Oh, did Dave got his clocks back, didn't he? Yeah, he took his
I think actually Nick's mind games, he'd actually broken Shane's mind.
Yeah.
He actually gave up. I thought there was still a chance. You've got to say there's a chance, and he didn't want it. So Jim the Sage Beach playing Dark Elves beat Paul Winter Rat Skaven
Master. Yeah, no, I mean I can talk about that game. So
minus 500.
Yeah,
Paul.
I was. Yeah.
Took a good paddle in there.
But this like showed how in my game things happened that. Revolution. They could that game couldn't have been repeated in Revolution, because what lost me the game was that my inability to order my stuff forward, but at least I'd have gotten it 10 centimetres forward every turn in Revolution. So I wanted to be further up the table then, but I just couldn't.
I'll tell you, from an observer's point of view, the thing I disliked seeing the most and was most impactful was cavalry flank charges into other cavalry. Where they just literally grind the shit out of them.
Yeah. And so...
And it's so miserable to watch.
And what Jim got pulled off is he did a four-order move with his Cold One Knights into the centre... Like, threaded them through my army and got into the centre objective on one turn.
So it is.
So he couldn't have done four orders in one turn in Revolution.
Was there a 40mm gap to get through?
There was, yeah. It was legal. It was four, but he took four orders. And also, some of our comp, like when he was grinding my infantry, they went on longer than two rounds, and I couldn't. And when I wanted to just turn my stuff around to face his cavalry, I failed the orders.
Yeah.
And at least turn it around in Revolution.
So, things like cavalry flank charge against other cavalry, and for example, you've got a terrifying monster in there as well.
Yeah.
So, you're only taking one dice back.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take you to? You know, like, I'm rolling one dice, what am I going to do, realistically? Well, at least if it was only two turns, I might tank it and have a stand left and then be able to do something about it.
They come in and save him.
Yeah, so. Revolution. Dan Harwood, Handsome Dan, first event.
Yeah.
He won.
It's encouraging to see his enthusiasm.
Well, I'm not going to change him from Handsome Dan to Enthusiastic Dan.
Yeah.
beat Andy Soans of Beastmen.
Yeah.
Plus 120, no, minus 120 to Andy. To Dan, sorry, so he lost on VPs but won on the scenario.
Yep.
So well played, sir. Dave Downs playing High Elves through me.
Yep.
Won. So plus 385 against Justin Curtis with Orcs and Goblins.
Yep.
Or Orcs.
Yep.
Well played him.
Justin.
He suffered through what is the misery of playing Orcs in the current rule set.
Yeah.
He had like literally half his army, including the trolls, did literally nothing because they just can't get moving, man.
Yeah.
So those poor trolls, order them on first order on a 7.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Go in on a 5.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. 7-5. Good luck. So crap. But well played, sir, for playing them. I'm definitely going to give them a run out in Revolution, and hopefully they're going to be good.
Yeah.
And then finally, Jeff Pennington, High Elves Tournament List, Dragon Master, lost to Stuart Clark, Albion, so 375 to Stuart. And that was the end of our 3 rounds. Ideally, we'd have played 4 rounds.
Yes.
Ideally, it would have been Alex against Steve in the final.
Yeah,
and then the VPs were only ever going to be there to separate minor placings, because the person who won 4 games would win the event.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, unless we get a venue that's open much later, or play a smaller point level, maybe play 1500 point games.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about that, but the sad thing is then it's not really, it doesn't feel like War Master at a smaller scale.
I'll tell you what, I'll say now.
Go on.
If we play 1500 point games against single cannons, Steggy's coming to play. Because Steggy don't fear no one cannon. But once them 2 cannon come out, Steggy gets scared. My Stegadon in that doubles was like, oh my god, he gets so much stuff. I starved him for a month first. But you do find that when you've only got single cannon batteries, like monsters can come out and play.
Yeah.
What chance has a giant got against 2 cannons? Just bam!
Yeah, not much. He's wounded and he's gone.
He's got driven more than 20, dead, blam. Right, okay, so the final scores on the doors. Okay, so starting from the bottom, working up, Jeffrey Pennington, the High Elf Tournament List Dragon Spam.
Didn't
work. Zebby did say it wasn't going to work. It's difficult to be in 5 places at once when you've got no models. So, 0 tournament points and minus 1130 victory points. Justin Curtis, Orcs. A lovely paid Orc.
Yeah,
lovely. No tournament points and minus 865 victory points. Then we have Stuart Clark of the Albion. I didn't see any Fenbys. God damn them. I want to see them in action. 1 tournament point and minus 1018 victory points. Simon Bromley, the Dwarves. So 1 tournament point minus 505 victory points. Paul, the Winter Rat Roller.
Hello.
Of the Skaven Lord.
Yep.
1 tournament point and minus 375 points.
Tremendous
12th. Is that 12th place?
Should have been 13th.
Would have been more auspicious.
Yeah.
So 12th place and bottom of the 7 bunk players.
Thanks.
15 months of training went into this.
Yep. Lean, fit.
So I will not accuse Skaven of being overpowered anymore.
Good, because they're not.
Just the bell. Right, Andy Soane's Beastman. 1 tournament point and minus 140 victory points. Dave the Machine Downs. High Elves, regular list. 1 victory by proxy. Plus 62 victory points. Shane Streeting won. He's Shane Streeting, first of our 4 Dark Elves.
Yeah, 4 Dark Elves.
Jesus. Oof. 4. So 1 tournament point and plus 289 victory points. Sherwin, the Grinder, Matthews, Chaos Dwarfs. He had 2 tournament points, which meant he won 2 games. Only lost 1. Minus 800 victory points.
So his strength of schedule really screwed him. Where did he finish? What rank? What level?
He finished 8th.
Yeah, so if he was like potentially winning. No, potentially 2nd. And he went down to 8th. Mm. Difficult.
Still better than 12th.
Yeah, thanks.
Phil could have been the man, Ewells.
Tony Tornant. We would have been cheering you out. I'd have bought you dinner tonight if you'd won.
I'd have bought you dinner. 2 tournament points. Minus 453, because as we said earlier, he took an absolute paddling in the final. Dan, handsome Dan Harwood, playing Chaos, first event, and he got 2 tournament points and minus 187, which put him in 6th place. Well played, handsome Dan. Shane Davey, Dark Elves, that's the second of our 4 Dark Elves, 2 tournament points and plus 433. Jim the Sage Beach. They played Dark Elves, and he had 2 tournament points and plus 588. Nick Wakely playing Tomb Kings, he had 2 tournament points and plus 754 on the victory points. And then we had Steve Pritchett, our top Dark Elf player, he had 3 tournament points and plus 1,005. And then finally, Alex, the man machine, the legendary Viking god, playing Norse.
The goat.
Plus, he had 3 tournament points and plus 2,342 victory points.
Just break that down again between first and second there.
No, the interesting point when they say, you know, like, oh, 2% of the UK population own 90% of the wealth.
Yeah.
Janus scored more victory points than second, third, and fourth place put together.
God damn it.
God damn that man!
He's like the US defence budget.
Even if the second, third, and fourth had put themselves together, joined together, they'd have still lost.
Smashed.
To the man that is Janoway.
The goat.
The three-peat champion.
Yeah.
So the little bunker Warmaster has got now 3 little symbols on it for the 3 events.
Yeah.
3 of the same name.
Yeah.
Good. So he won the. I've already said what he won, haven't I?
He won a lot.
Everything. All of it. Well done, him. Okay, so now it's the wrap-up special. We're in the car. Well, we were in the car a minute ago.
Yeah.
Phil's in the back.
Still in here. They still won't let me out.
Still won't let him out. Although we're going for a curry now to celebrate what could have been, but wasn't.
Yeah, commiserate there. It was almost glorious.
Red wine.
red wine?
Red. That's the French food.
Yeah.
I loved, to be fair, like Phil played, these first 2 games were just phenomenally good. Yeah. He exposed nothing, literally. His knights were in the back drinking, eating. The general didn't come out of the hut.
I need more wine! The general, I need some cheese!
The general didn't come out of the hut until literally the last roll of the dice. I just stabbed a goblin and that'll do. Honestly, you committed your knights only to get the last point of the game.
Yeah, that's why I messed up on the scenario, because you have to commit them earlier. Otherwise, you just don't get the scenarios.
We're not about the final. We're on about the...
They came through against really weak, duffed up units with one or two stands left.
Good!
Just mow them down!
Yeah.
And it was a brilliant bit where playing against Dan, he forced Dan off the board. And then he knew what was going to come. He didn't get a sucker punch this time, did you?
No, I used it to my advantage.
He did. Experience. So that was good. And how were your games, Paul? You got anything to say?
So my game against Nick first round was really good, really strong. I thought Nick was going to beat me, and then I had to, I got a turn where I only had 2 break left, and I committed everything. I could even set my general into fight, which I'd never do in this game, and I had to pick the fights that would work for me out of all my options to I had to get 6 of his break in the end. But that was, great game. The one against Sherwin, I was teaching him a bit of some of the game, if you're giving him all his options, talking him through and the things. But we had a massive turn 1 in mean engagement. Like, he knocked off 9 off my break point.
Boom!
Fully committed everywhere. It was great.
You got break 14.
Yeah. So it was fantastic.
9.
As I said before, what was getting me that what beat Skaven is heavy infantry supported. He had some dwarves supported by hobgoblins and stuff, and that was telling. He did enough. It was a good game. And then the last one against.
So do you think you'll ever beat him again now?
Of course.
I don't remember personally beating him too often in War Machine recently.
Yeah, I'll find a way.
Oh, Guild Ball? I don't remember beating him too often in Guild Ball anymore. No.
Skaven, I just don't think are a particularly strong army. That's all.
We've apparently pulled into a garage.
Yeah, he needs to pay. And then my last game against Jim. It's always fun to play Jim.
Jim the Sage.
And that one was a fitting one. By that point, I was like, okay, I can't win this thing. It's the last game of this edition of Warmaster. It's all revolution from now on. And it was fitting that game highlighted the differences between original and revolution, in the sense that the game wouldn't have played out like that in revolution.
Would the result have been any different, or just
I don't know. I don't know, but it would have been. I mean, like my inability to turn my units when they were getting surrounded. You know, like when
it certainly makes Harpies worse. No, I'm being serious. Because, like, what are they literally achieving if not to mess around with command?
Don't know.
Because you're not charging them into
taking
anything.
Taking on artillery.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure.
£10.
£10. Some drug money. That's how much it costs to come to one of our events. £10.
You got lunch.
And you got lunch. You got all whole days. Whole day's play and... Yeah, more prizes you can swing the stick at. And speaking of prizes, the one thing I must do is give a big shout-out to KR Multicase, yep. Who came through in the end.
Yeah, definitely.
Not only did they send the cases, they had lovely little labels attached to them.
Yeah, War Master Podcast labels.
Yeah, sponsored by KR. Very nice, So thank you, Mr. KR. We are sponsored by KR. Yep. Well done.
They are the best.
I mean, not only did we give three away... One of our players in the back here actually bought one of them.
No, it was Nick.
No, you bought one.
Oh, yeah, I bought.
Yeah, you did. He bought one from the shop downstairs, to put his army in, because the little biscuit tins he brings it in, he's had enough of. Well done. Well done, KR. No, it was a sale for you. Well done.
Yeah, exactly. Resulted in a sale.
Thank you to Manchester Ministry, who sent a ton of stuff.
Tons of stuff.
We gave most of that away, including a big watch to Alex, the man machine, Janet.
The goat.
Thank you to Polar Fox for some stupendous stuff. People were very excited to see those guys, those old, what do we call, old hammer.
Yeah.
Old Hammer Faces, Grimgore, what a dude.
I like that. So we gave everybody at the start a copy of the rule book.
The obsolete rule book.
Yeah, okay. Well, like a copy of the rule book and some models, which was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little cheat sheet from Jim.
Yeah.
For next time, hopefully, we've got a little bit of money left over.
Yep, £32.50.
Excellent. So we'll put that towards printing new books for the next.
Yep, exactly. We'll print the edition that is current on War Master Revolution.
Well, we'll print 1.0 when it's out.
Yeah, 1.0. Yeah,
which hopefully with the army list.
Whatever format, however it is, we'll be printing it. And giving that out at the event.
So we've done that. Polar Fox. Thank you, Polar Fox. Stupendous stuff, Bell. Superman. And Simline Games. Thank you, Tom Pugh.
Yeah.
He fronted up some dice and tokens and other bits and bobs that we distributed out.
Yes.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
So I just like think feedback about the whole event personally from someone.
And thank you, 40K, for putting on a lovely
fantastic
event.
Yeah.
Very nice.
No complaints. So I did ask at the end, like, if somebody has any feedback about the scenarios, get your feedback to me and I'll consider what you say. But overall, it was nice to hear even Jeff, who had lost in one turn in one of the scenarios, said that they were certainly different and that was interesting. Which is good.
I would certainly say that I wouldn't like to play friendly games without at least using them now.
Yeah.
I think they bring a bit of variety to the games.
Yeah.
Mix things up.
As I say, like if you're always playing Battleline, it can get a bit stale because you get to the point where your army's even setting up, like you've got, oh, this is how I deploy my army and this is what it does. And it like gets a bit repetitive and the scenarios like change it up a bit. Yeah, and I want to create more, obviously. So now that we've got some time until the next event, 6 months, I'll be looking at all this stuff, see what else I can create on the scenarios. So the point is that at an event you might have more than in the tournament pack, it's more than three scenarios, and the tournament organiser is whoever they want to do it, picking the rolling or picking randomly choosing the scenario for that round. Which that's the idea of it. I mean, most of the scenarios in War Master magazines involve a siege game in some format or unequal points, so that doesn't really suit.
We did play that Battle of the Little River or whatever. I can't remember.
But like, you've got to look at what ones could you replicate for tournament organised play? Can they be replicated across? It's much to consider. But there is lots of other ideas we can try.
It was funny that we did experiment with having a massive hill, like defend the hill or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's effectively what Chalice played.
Yeah.
Defend the hill.
Yeah. So there's lots to think about. If you could think of a game that involves like an attacker and defender style game, maybe over a river or escorting like some classic
wagon train.
You know, like in some way we got it'd be easy enough to do it simply like give give everyone some 2D bases, and there's your you know, wagons. But we just got to think. It's much to, lots to think about. So what I'm saying is, overall, there were some interesting comments given about, oh, what do you try this or try that in the scenarios. But overall, it was, they're staying. Like, that is, you know, because the irregular game is one of those scenarios. So
yeah, I mean, it's, sometimes people get a little bit upset when they lose because the scenario's gone against them or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, like, separate that away from, like, constructive feedback. Because if you're genuinely shagged off with this losing a game, then maybe you'd have a little bit of an axe to grind that it's not really there. Yeah. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but basically, the scenarios aren't, I'm not going to say they're perfect.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't never assume they would be, but they
they brought some variety to
what
the
they
game.
Do is get variety, and variety matters. You have
it
to, because that way you're extending, like, say you were playing your regular opponent and you use your army and they use theirs.
Yeah.
You know, like, at least with scenarios, you're going to get different max ups in games. Like, it's going to make it, especially meeting engagement, totally shakes up.
Oh, like, shit. Regular so games. The game Janus against Jim. Janus had an L, so you had the. If you're going to go 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5, 6. So 1, 2, 3 at the top, 4, 5, 6. He had 1, 2, and 5.
Yeah.
And Jim was caught in one corner, so completely surrounded.
Yeah.
But luckily, everything Jim had, apart from one unit of Witch Elves, deployed in that corner. So he's, like, completely castled. He had his entire army in one corner,
yeah.
And Janus had the three squares around him, completely trapping him in.
Yeah.
And it was, like, unbelievable. But if the game would have been so different if he'd been spread out.
Yeah.
Because the likelihood is whatever was in that corner would have been destroyed easily.
Yeah.
Because
it
was completely surrounded.
Yeah. So it's good. I mean,
it changed the game up.
Yeah.
And it gives you something to think about. And the game starts really quickly. There's no fanning around. It's just boom.
Oh, no. Mine and Sherwin's turn one was fantastic. You know, like, is it in terms of getting this game going forward. It was just all combat.
If the only feedback I did have was how potentially decisive the role for who goes first can be.
And I agree that is important. I mean, I lost my game and I went first. But
I don't know how you. Somebody has
to go first. It's the nature of the game system. You can't have half a turn, can you? You can't have a limited turn. Somebody has to go first.
Somebody does have to go first.
Yeah.
And I guess you just set up further away if you're that scared.
Yeah. I mean, you could experiment.
You have to set up assuming you're not going to go first.
You could experiment in it in the sense that, say, you could try this, for example. So, say, you roll off the first turn, and the person that's going second, before the player has his first turn, gets to do one order.
Don't know.
You could try that.
Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, just make, maybe you can turn.
Yeah,
you can reform one brigade.
So you can reform one brigade.
So you can face a different way if you're going to get charged up the arse, maybe.
I suppose. I don't know. I mean, it's something to try on. Yeah.
But one order means he could bloody charge. No, he can't.
No, he can't.
Be over 30.
Yeah.
Okay. So good. We're nearly there, aren't we, Chelmsford? I'll talk a little bit about the War Master Rules Committee, because it is going public. Bell apparently is going to, not Bell, sorry, Alison is going to be posted onto the Specialist Arms Forum about the composition. That we've got a 15-man committee. I think it's just about locked down now, because I said Saturday was the deadline, so there are no more people joining in. So commiserations to the French community if you haven't got involved in the Italian communities. We did reach out our tentacles.
Yeah.
But we can't. We can only lead the horse to water. We can't make it drink.
Yeah.
So the 15-man committee is going to move forward. We'll be starting the nomination process for army list amendments on Monday.
Exciting times, yeah. I mean, if I don't see a proposal I want, I am putting one in.
Yeah, but it has to be. It can't just be a wish list.
It has to be
based on facts.
Yes, and I will
and
base
experience.
It on. Yes.
Yeah. And then you propose it, and then it gets seconded, and then it goes.
If the steam tank one isn't in there, I will be proposing it myself.
But you just need to keep it simple. It needs
to
be,
I'm
like,
going to keep it.
It will not be destroyed if forced to retreat.
Yeah, literally.
That is it.
Well, it'll be the rules change. Will be deleting one of the lines of the text. Which says that it's destroyed if it's pushed back. You just don't have that text line at the
top. But actually, it couldn't be any easier, could it?
Yeah.
Remove this line.
Yeah, remove this line. There you go. Job done. Keep the set points the same. Everything else the same.
Okay. Well, there you go. You heard it here first. Well, several times you fit it at first. But the steam tank, that will probably be proposed on Monday. Let's take it as an example.
Well, I'm proposing it.
Well, if you propose that, I will probably second that. And then that will then move from the discussion to the voting. And then we'll have a 30-day window for people to vote and discuss. And eventually, in 30 days' time, we will have a number of votes cast for and against.
Yeah.
And if there's a two-thirds majority in favour of the change, then the change will happen.
If that, if Barry, just hypothetically, if that vote was put in the change, would that list be current straight away, or do we have to play test?
I've got no idea. Why are you asking me?
I don't know. Just like,
I don't know. I don't know what the process going forward will be.
Right.
So, because I don't control anything, do I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just a man speaking
yeah, yeah.
on a phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On, so, but we do have War Master Revolution on board. We do have some of the senior elders. We have Lex, we have Bell, we have Dave from Warmonger.
Yep.
We have people from all over Europe and in America. So basically, hopefully the plan will be it will at least go into Revolution.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so when Alice produces War Master Revolution V1.0, it will have some army lists in it. Those army lists may have amendments to them, and hopefully that's what we'll be working for.
That's exactly what we're trying.
So two-thirds majority needed.
Yeah.
So, and if that's the people that vote, so if you don't vote, your vote is irrelevant. So if only 12 people vote, you would need 8 votes.
Yeah, perfect.
To carry it.
Perfect system. Then perfect system. If you're apathetic.
Well, it's never
then
perfect.
No, 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 but like,
it's best I could do.
Best
I could steal.
Best you
from NetEpic and others.
So if 3 people vote, you only need 2 to say yes.
Indeed, I imagine more than 3.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Vote, but like, you're
yeah.
exactly right. That is the math.
Yeah.
So I will see if people. No, but don't feel like this is a closed process. If people want stuff changing, post up on the Specialist Arms Forum. Everybody who's anybody flirts around in there. So and they will see this. And you can get stuff implemented. Yeah. Certainly up for discussion. I will tell you now that I am 100% sure that the pikemen becoming defended when charged by cavalry and chariots
yeah.
that is going to be one thing that yeah. is going to be up for
that's
it.
Proposed,
and if 8 votes or whatever the number needed is, depending
so
on how many
votes. This is your Dogs of War army.
Yeah, so if 15 people vote, it will need 10 votes to pass.
Yeah.
And then that would be changed.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. And I think that's exactly what it should be.
It's not a wish list. It's not like bring all your hopes and dreams and get them fulfilled.
There was certainly one suggested to me by sensible players today was that in the dwarf list, why can't troll slayers be brigaded with troll slayers?
I don't know, because they'd be very hitty and they don't care for shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
I don't know.
Like, is that a fair? I mean, why is that there?
Yeah, like, that's an interesting one. I don't know. Maybe we have some elders there, so it would be a thing to discuss in the dwarf
yeah.
list.
Yeah.
I can't say it's something that breaks my heart, the thought of
troll
slayers not being able to brigade. It's not the top of my list of things to work
on. I wouldn't mind if they were there. Yeah. Personally, I think I can't see a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So we will. Right, so where were you up to? So the rules committee. It's going to be an ongoing process. There is a nomination process to get people on. So if we miss people out and people are really adamant, they should be part of it and they can make a good case for why they should be part of it and they can get two-thirds of the committee to vote for them to join, then feel free to join. But nothing will be done in secret. Everything's going to be out in the open, but except for the discussion and voting on the forum. But people can publish what we're talking about. The voting record can be published. It's like nothing's secret apart from... Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I say nothing secret, apart from the forum, which is secret, but that's because to keep people away for now. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting year, and...
it's going to be a better year.
Oh, that's what I meant to say, right. So, we're only looking, for now, at stuff that was classified either the 12 core list or tournament list.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure anything that's got a tournament list is going to supersede the regular list. That's just a matter of fact.
Yeah.
There may be amendments made to the list, but that's a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So if you're
came later.
Waiting for stuff in the experimental lists or the fan lists that may happen, we will classify them. I think with the 3 classifications for lists, there's like an approved list, there's the developing list, and then the experimental list. And I'm pretty sure a lot of those are just going to get dumped in experimental. Play with them if you want, but don't expect them to be balanced.
Yeah.
And we'll look at them when we get time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to play Cathay against Wood Elves, knock yourself out, but don't expect it to be balanced for now.
Yeah, Wood Elves need a lot of work.
Oh, lots of stuff needs a lot of work. We've got a priority. So we're now going to the curry shop. There's Handsome Dan, Sherwin, Man Machine.
See you in there. Hello,
yeah, hello. See you in there.
And Dave.
How many of us?
Seven. Nick's probably coming
seven.
As well. Seven.
It's better seven. The podcast.
We're recording now, so yeah. Okay. So we're just about to park up, go for a curry. It'll probably be too noisy in the curry house to record, so this may well be it. So yeah. We will see you on the other side. We'll record next week. We'll play a game and talk more about the future.
Yeah.
Now the past is the past.
Yeah. What's dead may never die.
It's already dead. Well, Walnut's just been dead for God knows how many years. Is still alive.
Now he's alive.
Warden's alive. So that was Warbuster Podcast episode 47 with Paul Barry and our special guest Phil in the back. Let him out. And we'll see you later in the week.